Ladies, summer is coming to an end, the kids are back in school, and it's time to focus on you. No, really, I'm serious, it's time. Rejuvenating Health is offering a back-to-school Labor Day special from now until September 4th. You will receive all of our diagnostic testings for free. The extensive lab work, the gut health testing, and even the DNA testing, all for free. We have 10 spots open for this amazing deal. So if you're ready to finally get to the root of your symptoms and reach your goals, this is the time. Don't wait to make another New Year's resolution. We all know what happens with those. If you would like more info, message us on social media or send us an email at rejuvenatinghealth.net. We can't wait to chat. Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls! Welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and I am here with women's health nurse practitioner, Lindsay Van Schoik. And today we have a special guest. We have Kimberly with us, who is the host of the Enlifted podcast, and she is the head of growth for Enlifted Coaches. So this is super awesome. We're excited to have you, Kimberly.
Yeah, thanks. This is fun. I love chatting with the ladies about all the things that I'm sure we're going to talk about today. So I'm
excited. And our listeners,
all the lady things.
Our listeners have totally heard us talk about Enlifted. And last week we had Mark on the episode. So they got like to hear about negations and projections and soft talk and all that fun stuff. So really today, I think we wanted to bring a woman on because we are a women's only program to see like, how has this impacted you? Like, I know that you've had a health journey. You've shared it before on the Enlifted podcast. Like, what did learning how to think this way and change your self-talk and negations and projections, like how did that impact your health journey? Because I think a lot of our women are stuck still in this, not thinking that the mindset part is important, and it's the most important.
Oh yeah, absolutely. As much as I love Mark, love him to death, he's the exact opposite of feminine when it comes to you know how to integrate this with women. But that being said, he was a very critical like piece of my journey and a coach that taught me a lot by using this method. So for the background, for those of you that I'm meeting for the first time or listening to me for the first time. So I am a 6/almost 7 year health coach working in the land of food and nutrition. And I've done some fitness coaching. I've done a lot of work in the deep inner work, the mindset work, the personal development work, because what I realized when I was going through my own health and wellness journey was that that was the most critical point to the whole thing. And I found myself, I was an athlete and very much like understood how to move my body, never really had much of an issue around like food or eating. And when I went away to college, I started to slowly but surely like move away from the sport and the fitness and eating well into, I want to drink alcohol. I want to party. I moved to New York City. I continued this wild party girl behavior and I was really unhappy. So I was also numbing myself with food. Right. And I found myself like very overweight, out of shape, completely disconnected from my body. And I had to do something about it because I was at, you know, I was in my mid-20s, I was like close to 250 pounds, and I just did not feel good. So I started to reconnect to fitness first because I knew like I had just this like tough like punch in the face to myself of like, girl, you got to do something about this. Like you're miserable. You want to change. You're stuck. Like you've got to take a step. So I started getting back into fitness. I started taking group fitness classes and doing a ton of like just fitness only style, like trying to lose weight. And that worked for enough because I was that overweight that just purely adding exercise was going to move the needle. And then eventually it got into the point where I was like, okay, well, for me to get even more weight loss, I've got to include food and I've got to cut out the alcohol and I've got to start really like, you know, getting more dialed on my nutrition. So I started doing that and then I started to see even more results and things were moving smoother. And as I started to build momentum in, you know, at the time, what my most critical marker was weight loss. I realized that I was actually starting to enjoy myself a lot more too. Like my headspace was a lot better. My satisfaction in life was a lot better, but there were still things that were not moving as quickly as I wanted. So I was in a job that kept me sitting at a desk all day in an office with no windows.
Yeah.
I was still, that party girl side of me was still very alive and well. And so I started to realize like, hey, I've lost all this weight, but I'm still not super happy. So why didn't that work? You know, like that seems like the thing that like I wanted, right? I'm skinnier. Cool. Like I'm wearing smaller size clothing. Great. And I'm still not satisfied. So
I
mean,
I think a lot of women struggle with that. Like with my eating, disorder, yes. I'm like, okay, I weigh 89 pounds, but I freaking hate life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so tough because I thought that that would be the thing that was going to like unlock all of the other changes. Yeah. I thought that, you know, if I could look a little slimmer, if I could wear a smaller size pants and dress, and if I could, somehow like find this satisfaction in my physical body, that that was going to solve everything else. It was going to get me a hot boyfriend that was finally going to treat me well. It was going to help me, you know, move up in my job and make more money. I thought it was going to make my friends like me more and I was going to have more fun. And like none of that happened.
Right.
You know, I was still super insecure. I was still very much like in this state of disassociation, disconnected from what I really wanted and what I really needed. And I just, I got to a point where it was like, okay, what do I do? And I started, yoga was a part of my fitness journey. And I started to like realize, I'm like, well, okay, when I'm in yoga classes and the instructors are talking about like more of the inner stuff, I'm like, okay, well, I'm really liking that. I'm vibing with this. I started writing and journaling a lot because that was something that I found, relief for my insanity, my internal insanity.
Yeah.
And, I started just seeking out teachers and ways that I could learn on this inner quest because, you know, it became obvious that changing the physical body, like, just wasn't going to cut it. Like, I had to do more. I had to dig deeper. And fitness was a great way for me to build confidence and to build, like, that internal dialogue and to recognize that, like, the place I felt the most confident was in the gym. It was like I could get in there and I knew what to do and I knew how to work. I knew how to push myself. I knew how to, affirm myself. I had, unbeknownst to me, I had a very unlifted mindset in the gym. Mm-hmm. And I really struggled to bring that out to the other areas of my life. So a series of steps along the way that after seeking out, different tools of yoga, meditation, different mindfulness practices, really getting into a therapy, psychedelics, different aspects of like this whole, like figuring out who I am and why I'm here, eventually brought me to Mark England and co-founder of Unlifted. And I met Mark through another mentor of mine, Mike Bledsoe, who introduced me to Mark. And Mark starts talking about the words. I'm like, huh, interesting. Okay. He starts talking about goal setting. And he's like, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I believe this a little bit. I'll write some things down. And I did. And then those things slowly started becoming true. And then I started to realize that this internal dialogue started to become a little bit more manageable. And then I started to realize, like, at this point in time, I was coaching already. I was teaching other women about food and nutrition. I had left the corporate job. I you know, was like following the passion for helping other people go through this transformation that I had gone through. And I was trying to coach by talking about food and fitness. And I was trying to get women results from the physical lane because that's, even though I had experienced something night and day different, like I just said, like I realized the fitness and the food wasn't enough to get me to the result that I wanted. I still found myself trying to coach other women that because that's what they said they wanted. And I just like didn't click in my head that like, oh wait, that's not the complete picture. So by learning through Mark first, as a friend, like I just observed him and watched him and I was like, what is this guy doing? Like everything about him just is different than what I'm used to. And
yeah.
Maybe you guys, if you listened to last week, you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. And so I got to the point where I realized, like, I was like, whatever he's doing, I want it because I internally, you know, I'm still working through this process. Like, I have the hot body that I want. I feel really confident in the gym. I love the food that I'm eating. And I'm still like chipping away at liking myself, you know, because it was like, those are the things I thought I needed to do to like myself. And it was like, but I'm still not always like enjoying the thoughts in my head. So, fast forward to when Mark had invited me to take the certification a few times. And I just always found a reason to say no to him. Like I was like, oh, I don't have extra cash right now, or, oh, it's not a good time, or whatever it was. And I think he invited me probably 2 to 3 times before I finally said yes. Mm-hmm. And once I said yes, I was like, I literally wanted to smack myself and say, what the hell took you so long?
Yeah.
And so that was like a radical shift in my personal life for sure, because I started to unwind all of the stories that were so deeply connected to what I was experiencing with food and nutrition and fitness, which was like, I was trying to change myself from the outside in versus the inside out. Mm-hmm. I was completely disconnected from my feelings and emotions. I was, you know, seeking validation from men. I was trying to find every which way to have somebody tell me I was good enough. But it was like, I needed to be the one to tell me I was good enough. I need to understand that some of the stories from growing up around my body and food and experiences that I had about the beliefs that I held around what it took to be an attractive woman, or what it took to be a healthy woman, or what it is to be a woman in general. Like, why, you know, how do I want to express myself? A lot of that stuff came to the surface through doing the Enlifted Method uh-huh. story work. And eventually I realized, I was like, oh my God, this is the exact same thing all of my clients are struggling with. And I've been trying to like beat them over the head with like, you know, stop, like just trying to give them action steps. Like, make sure you go on a walk every day, and make sure you're in the gym 3 times a week doing some strength training, and make sure that you're eating whole foods. And it was like, and I could tell them all that education a million times over, and it wasn't getting to the root, which was they were feeling all the things I was feeling. I'm not good enough. I need an outside validation. Misdirected attention on what was actually going to provide them with the satisfaction that they were looking for, what was actually going to bring them to the place of check, I did it, you know, like my journey is complete, or my journey, or I'm on this journey. I'm going to be on this journey for a long time, but I'm comfortable here and I'm satisfied here. And so I started coaching with the Enlifted Method, and all of a sudden it was like, I was getting better breakthroughs for the women than uh-huh. ever. And they were things were happening quicker. They found a lot of relief. They found a lot of experience of like, you know, and at first some of the stuff was hard to talk about. And sometimes it was hard to like get into those stuck stories or to feel like it was appropriate to talk about it with me when I was there to talk about food. And they're like, well, why does it matter about, you know, when I was 13, this thing my dad said to me. And it's like, well, you know, it matters because that's shaping all of your beliefs and your reality and that how you're behaving and the choices you're making.
Right.
And so actually getting through all of that, I found so much personal growth through utilizing this method. And I saw so much better results for my clients that, you know, again, I met Mark first as a friend, and he knew my background in coaching, and he knew what I was doing as far as building online business. And he's like, hey, I want to hire somebody to help us out with social media. And I want to like, you know, we're building out this certification, and like, I want you to talk to my business partner, Adam, and see if you would be a fit for that role. And that snowballed into, you know, one conversation snowballed into, okay, I really want to work with you guys. I want to help move this mission forward. I want to get more coaches involved in utilizing this and practicing this method, all the way to me realizing that I knew a hell of a lot more about marketing than they did. So it's like, I was like, all right, guys, if you want to really grow this thing, let's go. And then I joined their team full time and started to grow and expand the business through posting our podcast, using all of our marketing channels to bring this method out to more people, and to really be able to just get this thing, get the experience into the hands of coaches like myself that were so desperately wanting to help other people and still always meeting up against these walls and barriers of the beliefs and stories of their clients and the beliefs and stories of ourselves, because we're not immune to that either. It's not like just because I know a thing or two about how the body works means I mm-hmm. like understand everything in life, yeah. You know? So it's been a fun path and a fun journey and very rewarding.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about coaching, is seeing those like aha moments with your clients when they're like, oh my gosh, like it just clicks. Not the fitness and nutrition aha moments, but like the, this is why I'm self-sabotaging, or this is why I won't do the things that you're telling me to do, and you know, all of that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's talk self-sabotage, because that is the most, like infuriating thing to me on my journey was self-sabotage. Like I would make a lot of progress and then I would fall back, and I would, you know, I would mm-hmm. binge eat, or I would go out and party for 3 weeks straight, or I would skip the gym for an entire month. those things happened along the way, for sure, for sure, for sure. And what I didn't understand at the time that they were happening was that I was putting myself in this doom loop, that my thought of, oh, well, it's just one ice cream cone, to, oh, it's just one piece of pizza, to, it's a whole pizza, to, it's just one skipped workout, to, now I haven't been in 3 weeks. Like, the snowball of my thoughts and realizing how that was taking me down this path of, if I thought it was just one, and it really never was, but I was telling myself the same story over and over again and making it more, like trying to go back to my old patterns and behaviors out of comfort, out of fear, out of anxiety, out of, discomfort, really, you know, like it was destroying me internally, because it was like, I would make such great progress. And then all of a sudden it would be like, you know, take 10 steps forward. And I felt like I was taking 30 steps back, and I wasn't taking 30 steps back, but mentally I was beating myself as if I was.
Right.
And it was like this thing of like thinking that a health journey is only linear and that it has to be this step-by-step thing. And then also being completely clueless about the menstrual cycle, like at that time, like I had no clue. I was like, I thought that what was modeled to me in the gym and in fitness and in progress was a super masculine approach of like, start, keep going, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, always get better. Like, and never realizing like, oh, women don't work.
No, like you have these phases where you're like, you're a follicular phase, you're going to feel good. Your luteal phase, it's like, okay, you're going to eat more food and you're going to want to veg out. Right. Like,
it's the same too. We were just talking when we were talking about intermittent fasting. A lot of women want to know, well, why will it work for men? And that's what Lindsay was saying. Most of the studies are done on men. It's primarily done with men. So they're giving you results for men. So you're right. You know, it's always, a lot of the time, a masculine approach.
Yeah. And then like thinking about, you know, a big chunk of my fitness journey was through CrossFit.
Right.
And I felt so strong and empowered lifting heavy weight. And I felt awesome, like being in the gym and working really hard and pushing myself to exhaustion. And like, but still, I still think about this, like one of the best feelings in the world to me was like getting under a heavy snatch, right? Or like a really, really
heavy snatch. Hate snatching.
Like I loved Olympic
lifting. Girl, when you said get under a heavy snatch, I was like, oh. But part of me was like, oh. And part of me was like, yeah, girl, that you can get under a heavy snatch. You get under that heavy snatch. I'll just
stand not anymore.
And run. I don't want to do the snatches.
Yeah, I like it was this thing that like I just loved it. I loved like pushing myself to those limits. And it was because like my workout buddies were men. The coaches that I loved the most were men. The validation that I was seeking or might remember back there was from men. Right. So it was like all these patterns of realizing that like I was doing things because it felt really good and it felt awesome. But then I would go in and I would lift on days where it was like, I was moving so sluggish and slow. I felt horrible in my body. I felt like my warm up weights were like, just like, might as well have been a one rep max. And I couldn't understand why. I was like, what's wrong with me today? Beat myself up. And then I would go and I'd do this.
Right. And I see that a lot. Like we own a CrossFit gym and you know, like it's all about the leaderboard, right? Like where are you at in the leaderboard? And I all have like, yeah, but our members will be like, I don't understand why I'm like not doing good or whatever. And I'm like, where are you at in your cycle? Like, and then they get in this comparison trap and like, I'm not getting better. Or I'm weak today. And then you're right. You just go and self-sabotage.
Yeah. The comparison thing, we touched on this like very briefly before we started. It's like, there's two veins of comparison that I experienced, which was one was comparing myself to the men, which is like women, you should never compare yourself to men. Like we're biologically so different, physiologically so different, mentally, emotionally so different. It's, you can't compare yourself to men in the gym. And then the other comparison is like to the other women in the gym that are then also being compared to the other men in the gym. Right. So it's like this experience of like, you know, women can really excel at CrossFit. Women can do great in these high intensity environments when they work with their cycle, when they understand how to train with their cycle, when they understand how to think and feel with their cycle, because that is the most important aspect of your female physiology in my book. And it's like being able to work with that is critical. And when it comes to the mindset game, it's the most critical thing, because guess what, ladies, I know you all relate to me. You don't feel the same in the beginning of your cycle as the end. Right? Like you don't feel the same. Like when you're ovulating, you're on fire, like unstoppable.
I can do anything.
Like get at me.
Stop. This is enough. I was getting like slight PTSD from listening to last week's episode when I said about it. Oh my God. But I feel too, the menstrual cycle and the mindset pieces are two mostly overlooked pieces, and they're so crucial, like you said.
Yeah. And it's like, I like to, what I found a lot of success in my own life was starting to look at them together, because I realized that I was on this wave. And, you know, physically I was on a wave because I had more or less energy. My appetite was different. My desire was different. Like my introverted, extroverted self was different. I realized like all this stuff was different over a span of about 30 days where I was like, okay, cool. And start all over again. And when I realized when I linked up with the mindset piece with my cycle, it became like, I felt like the ultimate life hack. It was like, oh my God, like, holy crap. How come nobody told me this before?
New level unlocked.
Yeah, quite literally. And then it was like all these other women that had told me that before. They're like, I told you. I'm like, okay, all right. So, but the, you know, it's like that phase of, and this is something that like, I when I do coach women still, and I'm really coaching exclusively on mindset, food and fitness always come up, but it's more about, it's the stories that are in our heads. Getting into the conversation with them about understanding how that the self-talk shifts throughout your cycle is really important, because I notice myself, you know, as I'm like, after I'm done bleeding, leading up to ovulation, the follicular phase where I'm just like building momentum and energy, I hit that ovulation week and it's like, I'm unstoppable. I could do anything. Like my energy is at its all-time high. I feel the best about myself. I feel, you know, like that's going to be my peak. And then it's all downhill from there. And so as like rolling down the hill slowly but surely, and my energy starts to slow down slowly but surely, my thoughts get a little bit more critical. And then I've observed in myself, like there's this like 2 to 3 day window, anywhere from like 7 to 5 days before I bleed, that I am insane. Yeah.
Like not nice, like irrational thoughts.
Like insane and not a good way. Yeah.
And not in a good way. Yeah. And like I, you know, even now, like I experienced that. This is like in real time. This is about 4 or 5 days ago for me, where the insanity was at its peak. I realized, I was like, you know, like I do this every cycle, and I know this is happening every cycle. But what are the thoughts that come up every cycle? Because is it different or the same? Like, you know, it's like I know the general mood, but is my thoughts and stories like generally the same around this time? And I realized, I was like, it's true. Almost always what wants to happen is I want to quit my job. I want to start fresh and do everything different. I want to move to a new city.
Hilarious.
I tell myself that I need to lose weight. I tell myself that I need to like, it's like, and it's always the same thing. It's the same story. So I'm like, oh, okay. So if that's what's happening in this phase, what can I do to just remind myself, hey, breathe, talk to yourself in 2 days.
Right.
You're being insane. Yeah, exactly. But I think so and many like, people can relate to that. I mean, truly, we're laughing, but because I feel like it's so relatable.
Yeah, but most people don't it's recognize
like, this is the
it.
Thing that we start sharing with women. Right. And that's why I say it was like the ultimate life hack. Because once I realized it, it was like, oh, okay, so it's like quit the job, move to a new city, like start all over, like my whole body needs to change. Like when I realized it was the same conversation that I was having with myself, I was like, oh, it's just the phase of your cycle. This is the mindset that happens every time. And what can I learn from these like aspects of it? What are the things I can ask myself? Like rather than in the past, what I would do would be self-sabotage and make rash choices and like act out. Now I look at it and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like, you know, did I give myself enough time to get in some self-care? And did I, did I take something a little bit too harshly that my male team, somebody on the team said to me, and I just like internalized because I didn't realize I was just a little extra sensitive that day. And they're used to me being a little more, you know, can match their energy versus being this like totally different thing. And so there's that wave, and you know, it's like a lot of that stuff, like it brings up the deep stuff too, because it challenges and confronts, like, I mean, those are big life decisions.
Yeah.
So it brings up the deep stuff, and it reminds me of times when I have done those things, because I have done them all. I have quit a job. I have moved to a new city. I have like gone down this path. Like I have to change everything. And it reminds me of those times. And then sometimes the like shadow aspects of those times in my life, just sort of like proof that I do need to do that again. You know, it's like you look for all the negative stuff, because the negative thoughts are the ones that really get us. Like it's not like, you know, nobody's going to be upset about like saying I'm a divine goddess every day.
Right. So now whenever those thoughts come up in your head, so you just self-reflect and try to talk yourself through it. Like you're able to do that now because you've practiced it for a while.
Yeah, I would say like my first thing, because as much as I've practiced it and as aware as I am, I'm still a human.
Right.
And so I still experience that stuff. So what I've noticed is I'm quicker to catch it and I'm quicker to say, oh, okay, all right, that was a little an aggressive thought right there. Okay, noted. And then if I hear it again, I'm like, oh, I'm going to write that one down. Okay. Like, or I really start to ask myself, like, what is the exact language pattern that I'm saying this in? Like, most of the time it's dramatics and most of the time it's negations. Mm-hmm. It's all of the conflict language. It's also projections. Right. It's like, they don't value me, you know?
I'm quitting. Yeah. I'm moving to inner city.
And be like, we didn't know you wanted to quit once a month. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but here's,
now you do.
Here's the thing. Like, if you don't practice that stuff throughout the rest of the month, when that crazy time where you're insane happens, you're not going to be able to self-reflect and slow down and recognize those thought patterns. Like, you have to practice recognizing those thought patterns all throughout the month, throughout it, like every day.
Yeah. Yeah, Lindsay, you totally nailed it, because here's the other piece of this is that, like, as much as our negative thoughts like drag us down and make us feel like all of the emotions and feelings, when also, by the way, when those thoughts are happening, your hormones are already positioning you to be much more emotional reactive, and much more like super sensitive. And so in that moment is like the hardest part. But then it's also remembering that in those phases of our cycle where we are like using our energy to our advantage, it's building up that positive mindset, building up the affirmations, building up the story, building up the identity, reminding yourself, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go after this thing. I'm doing great. I'm making awesome progress. Like, I'm going to keep chipping.
Yeah. And that's giving yourself so much power, right? It's just,
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And then being able to the biggest part of this hack for me was like anticipating the wave, you know? So being able to say, like, when I'm feeling super high on me in life, and I'm like, okay, all right, great. I got 3 or 4 more days of this, and then I'm going to start to slowly, my energy is going to come down and I'm going to be a little more sensitive, and I'm going to need a little more time to rest. I'm going to need a little more food. I'm going to need a little less intensity in my workouts. I'm going to want, like, being able to anticipate that is what helps me have the compassion and helps me have the grace of thinking like, okay, this is part of the process. Like, this
but listen, most women don't even know what their menstrual cycle is, let alone know what phase they're in. Or
I was just thinking that.
Like,
I think they just think I get a period, bleed, and then that's it until the next time I get my period. You know, there's so much that goes into it. It's wild. But you're right, Lindsay. I don't think people think
like
about
I
that.
See people in my office all the time, and I'm like, yeah, like it's normal to have cramps on your period. It's normal to have PMS. Like, has no one taught you about your period? Or like, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're like, it's worse and sad. It's like a collective story around women that it's like, you're very shameful that you're the collective story around PMS, which is like, oh, she must be bleeding because she's being a bitch.
So
or, you know, and then we get into the land and conversation of like hormonal birth control and all of the things that we're telling women that it's, you know, Like, your menstrual cycle is like
it's your vital sign. Like, it is a vital sign. Like, I tell people that, like, if your period is off, then something is wrong on your body. You're not eating right. You're not sleeping right. You're stressed out. You're over exercising. Like, and if you're on birth control, you're literally shutting down your vital sign. Like, you're shutting down your ovaries. You're shutting down something that is supposed to be telling you when something is wrong with your body.
Don't get her started on that hormonal birth control.
I want to get started. I'm like, Lindsay,
if you bring up semi-glutide, we're just going to spiral down, Kimberly. Don't do it.
No, but it's sad. Like, I had a mom bring her daughter in yesterday to my office because she was having cramps, and she's like, "We'll just put her on birth control for the cramps." I'm like, "No, I'm not doing that." Like, I will. Yeah.
And see, this is the collective story, right? So, like, okay, so let's talk. So, when we're talking mindset, there's two important things to understand that this is, especially for women, right? For the exclusively of this conversation around women, you have your own story, which is what you've experienced how you've internalized the things that people have said to you about you or about women or about what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do, about food, about fitness, how you're supposed to look, how you're supposed to behave around men, how, like, all of the things you're supposed to do, right? There's your story and your experience of it, and then there's the media, and then there's the big pharma perspective, and then there's the fitness models perspective, and then there's like this collective story out there telling women that you're supposed to look a certain way, you're supposed to behave a certain way, you're supposed to eat a certain way, you're supposed to work out a certain way. If you lift heavy weights, you're gonna get bulky. Yeah. Like all of that stuff. Those are collective stories. Mm-hmm. That's not your story. That's a collective story about that. That's most of the time a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. So. So the problem becomes we have to first discern from what the collective story, what we decide to be true or not true. And then we have to then take it into our own personal story and say, okay, well, how has that shown up in my life? Right. So like, you know, for women that did, when they were a young preteen or teenage girl, that they did go on birth control because of their cramps. And now they are a mother of a young woman. Like they think that that's the story. Like they think that that's the way to do it. So it's like, well, wait, hold on. We've got to readjust and shift this education component. But then it's also, it's not that the education isn't enough. Like this is true about fitness and food too. Education isn't enough. You have to shift your beliefs about the things, right? So if you think the only way to get skinny is by eating salads every meal for every day for 30 days, and that maybe you'll lose 15 pounds by doing that, but then you're going to gain it all back the next month because you stop eating salads every day. Well, we have to change your belief about the thing. And it's like understanding where did that belief come from? You, for women, a lot of times it's your mom, other women around you, or the media, right? What was portrayed to you. And so it's what, and the first place to look at like what we learn from our mothers, that's a lot of unraveling to do. That's a lot. I mean, it's, I have not worked with a female client to this date that has had a story-free relationship with their mother about their body, you know, because we inherit that stuff. And even if your mom is very loving and nurturing and has been like a A+ mom and has hit all the markers and done all the things, you probably still are hearing a story about your body and how.
Well, yeah, right. I was gonna say intentional or not, right? You know, intentional or not.
Like I think about that with my daughter. Yeah. Like I grew up in a house where it was like constantly dieting, right? So that's kind of where I got my thoughts about. You needed to, and I'm sure that led someone to my eating disorder. Well, we don't live like that in our house. Like I'm not dieting, but I'm telling my, like I'm lifting weights and doing that thing. So my daughter's getting some kind of story about that and how she thinks her body should look because we're constantly like eat protein and lift weights and you have to be healthy and you have to eat healthy. Well, it's still, she's still getting a story from that. Whether it's a good story or a bad story, I don't know how that's going to affect her.
Yeah. And it's like, you can do your best to educate and to lead by example, like you're doing. And what you can't control for completely, because otherwise you'd just be like censoring the crap out of her, is like what she's seeing from other
friends
women.
Or social media or,
you know? And And it's, so the thing is, it's like, well, okay, this is how my mom behaves and this is what my mom looks like and this is what my mom does and this is what I see. But then there's this other external source that's going to tell me something different. Or, you know, and like being able to understand that nothing is wrong necessarily. It's just about what you choose to believe, how you want to behave and what you prefer. So we talk about this a lot in the context of the language and story. Once we get into specific questions and specific working of the method, is like, what do you prefer? Because the truth is you can believe anything you want to believe. You can behave any way you want to behave. You can get any result you want to get. But if you're in my book, if you're not enjoying the process, if you are struggling to maintain the result and that you are fighting against what feels good for you, then you don't prefer that option. You know, like salads for 30 days, like, yeah, it's probably going to work. And are you going to like it? I don't think so. Are you going to be able to sustain the result? I don't think so. Like, you know, and so I make a joke about that because it's like,
yeah, but that's a freaking diet industry. It's women's stupid diet industry. Yeah. Ugh, like shakes and like, you're not going to enjoy that process. So why are you even trying it? Why are you eating fake food from Optavia? Because you're not going to eat that for the rest of your life.
Oh. Here we go. We're laying it all out today.
Listen, this is the stuff that like, it's, you know, and here's the thing, right? It's like on this side of the street for us who have gone through the path and the journey and understand and have experienced these things firsthand, which is like, we've done the deep inner work. We've done the work to figure out what foods, what food fuels us, what food we enjoy eating, what we actually like, you know, we found a rhythm on that and comfortable enough with fitness, right? It's easy when you see all that on, like, once you've gone through the process, it's like, oh, well, of course. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the process, it's so challenging. And the reasons it's challenging, ladies, I promise you, it's not because lifting weights is challenging. It's not because eating well is challenging. It's because changing your beliefs is challenging.
Right.
Changing the story in your head is challenging. Showing up for yourself every single day, choosing to move into the actions, behaviors that you want and out of the patterns and behaviors that you don't is the challenging part.
That's and I had a conversation with one of my clients yesterday that she's done every diet that you can think of. And none of them have stuck and stayed. And I'm like, it's because you haven't went there with your stories and the words that you're telling yourself. So if you're listening to this and you're someone that's bouncing around from Weight Watchers to Noom to whatever it is, like, you're going to get results on those. But until you dig in and change your words and change your thoughts and change the stories that you're telling yourself, like, you're never going to be free and you're never going to live the life that you want to live. And I think that's hard and that's not the easy way to do it. And so a lot of women resist that.
Yeah. The hard stuff is the stuff you don't want to talk about. The hard stuff is the stuff that you'd rather not even address with yourself, let alone expose it to another person.
Exactly.
Right. Like, the thing is like, I think about this in the context of, many health and fitness coaches, in your first few years of coaching, you get into it because you really want to help people and you realize like, oh wow, I can help people a lot. People need help. And like, I love being that guide and light for people. And I want to help them get healthy. And like, you know, we have a really big problem in this country with food and medications and that are driving chronic disease and obesity and just destroying us. And so the thing is, it's like, well, great. Okay. I want to help that and solve that. And you start teaching fitness classes or you start doing some health coaching or you start like getting involved in people and like in that wellness space. And then you have enough conversations where you realize, oh my God, people don't even need to talk to me about that. They're talking to me about what's happening in their relationship. They're talking to me about what's going on with their finances. They're talking to me about what's going on at work. They're talking to me about like the weight they feel over the grief of losing a parent. They're talking to me about like, you know, they've been feeling really depressed internally for months and months and months and months. And they are struggling to find relief from that. Like, you realize that it's never about the thing that they want to do with their physical body. It's always the internal experience. And so when coaches, and this is the experience for me too, like I wanted so passionately to help and for people to feel better in their bodies, because I knew that if the physical body was healthier, that the mental body would be healthier too. The emotional body would be healthier too. The spiritual body would be healthier too. But what I couldn't understand was like how to help them do that, because it was like, it seemed like easy math, right? It's like calories in, calories out, lift these weights,
eat a vegetable,
and do this exercise. And
move more. Like this,
And I don't really even believe that that's true. I don't believe that that's true.
No, it's
blankly.
Not.
And it's interesting because, like, you know, as much as I see and experience science saying that these things are true, I also like the deeper down the path that I go into the land of energy and realizing that, you know, what is food? It's energy in. Okay. What is exercise? It's energy out. And then, but also all the other energy around us, which is our feelings and emotions, that plays a massive role into how we're able to move our bodies, how our bodies store energy, aka fat, how our bodies like store emotions. And so this whole other lane of things, like I realized like eventually what it was like, okay, I can help people scratch a surface if we talk about the physical. And by doing that, the emotional stuff is going to come up. Mm-hmm. And either I can, as the coach and as a person who wants to help them in actual change, I can either like ignore it and just pretend like that's outside of my scope and they should go talk to a therapist or they should go figure out like somewhere else. Or I can realize that every piece of the human body is inextricably linked. Like they have to go together and these conversations have to happen together. And I can get better tools and better education and better ways to support. And so I took that path because I said, I want to be able to help people. I know I can, and I know what they really need. And so, you know, it's like on the other, like meeting resistance from clients who don't want to go into the deep dive of the the tough, stuck, vulnerable parts of themselves is, you know, it's something that if you really want the results, you have to go there.
Right.
Because if you really want to move through what's keeping you stuck, it's not your weight. That is a result of what is really keeping you stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
If you really want to move through your body image, it's not your eyeballs that are seeing something different in the mirror. It's a story in your head, and it's an experience that we have to go into the deep, vulnerable, stuck stuff to get through to the place that we want, the result that we want. And, you know, and here's the other thing too, right? It's like, you could be like, well, how bad do you want it if you're not willing to be vulnerable? Da, da. No, that's not it. It's actually like, you're going to be you're up against your own limiting beliefs and stories about how it's safe to be vulnerable or not. Mm-hmm. So even if you really, really want it, there's this aspect too of like, you can hold yourself back. You can self-sabotage from that. And so the best way to like, to really get into this and to, if you want the result and you really want to change, is like, remind yourself, like, I have to do it. I can hire a coach who can really guide and support me, who can give me the tools and can do the work alongside of me and can really, really, really help me get there. And I've got to show up to the change. I've got to show up to say, all right, this is going to be uncomfortable and I'm going to breathe a little bit and I'm going to blurt it out and I'm going to work through this thing that I've been ignoring for 30 years, or I'm going to work through this thing that I, you know, just haven't spoken to anyone else before that is keeping me up at night, right? Like the other side of that is absolute bliss. It's just so much relief. It feels, the weight will fall off without changing a thing. Like
freedom.
It really is. And it's, I feel really passionate. I feel as passionately as you ladies do about this because it's something that I've lived personally. It's something that I've supported women through. And it's something that I know how challenging it is to get through. And I know that people need help. And so like, I really like to support people through this process because I know you're going to need help on it. I know you're going to come up against this spot where you're going to get stuck. I needed help. I still need help. Occasionally I'm like, you know, I'll call up somebody who can help me. Cause I'm like, I don't know where to go from here. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the process and the journey. And you're going to hit bumps along the way. And some stuff's going to be really raw and some stuff's going to be really, really awesome. And
we've talked a lot about that. Like, every one of us has a coach or someone there to help guide us, right? Like everyone on Rejuvenating staff has a coach or, you know, a mentor or someone to help guide them through that. Cause there are going to be times where you need support and you need to have someone help walk you through those stories and stuff like that. And I always tell our clients, like everyone that signs up wants something that like wants me to tell them what's wrong with their gut health or wants me to tell them what's wrong with their hormones or, you know, I can do all this amazing testing and I can tell you if your body likes carbohydrates and fats and I can give you all these tools and I can tell you exactly how to exercise and exactly how to eat. But if you're not willing to go to the emotional stuff, you're going to stay stuck and you're probably still not going to get results because your mind and gut and brain are so connected that if you're so in your head, it's going to mess up your gut health and it's going to mess up your hormones and you're not going to be sleeping at night. So you can look for all these underlying issues, but most of it is stemming from the thoughts and the things that are going on in your head.
Yeah. The stuff that's wild to me is I hear about, I'm in a deep dive of Joe Dispenza's work right now, which is all about heal your body just through meditation and your thoughts. And people are doing it. So it's like, so what does that tell me? It tells me that like, if I can heal my mind and I can work with the physical behaviors that I need to implement into my day-to-day life, you're going to get the outcome that you want. But what it also tells me is that the mind is far more powerful than the body is. And so, and not in the way that we want it to be. The mind is overpowering the wisdom of the body. And what is happening is that the mind is driving you to be the one to go pick up a pint of ice cream. The mind is the one that's driving you to skip the gym. The mind is the one that's telling you to like keep your feelings inside and don't express them. That's your mind. Your body is going to say, hey girl, I'm actually really full. I really don't need ice cream tonight. Your body's going to say, oh, I really would love a sweat. Like this would be great. Let's go for a walk. Like let's just move some energy here. Your body is going to say, cry it out because I don't want to hold this anymore. Yeah. And so it's like the wisdom of the body, letting that lead takes it, what's required is that you drop the story. What is required is that you can actually tune in and hear it, and you can feel where the emotions are building and where the energy is getting stuck. And that's something that we're so, and listen, like the one thing I like just led this whole conversation with is like, none of this is
no,
like none of this, like, you didn't choose any of this. This is what our environment and our society and how we interact has taught us to act and behave. We have to unlearn these patterns and stories and things that got us here in the first place, is the place where we don't like it. We're stuck. We're unsatisfied, unfulfilled, struggling in pain, all of that. Right. So what's got us there is the beliefs and stories that you've held up until this point. What's going to get you out of there is not the beliefs and stories that have gotten you there. It's a different set of beliefs and stories. It's a different approach. It's a different mindset. It's a whole different world of possibility that if you're willing to, you know, peek behind the curtain and then step behind there and get all the way in, you're going to find so much relief. So it's like realizing that too. It's like, you know, I guess we talked about a little bit with the collective story. It's like that collective story is the thing that's creating the internal war zone that's talking you into and out of what you want or what you think you should have or what you don't have or why it's not good enough. All of that stuff comes from the outside in. You didn't pop out of the womb thinking I'm not good enough.
Right. But what's really sad to me is that this is the part that's missing in the health and fitness and nutrition space, because so many coaches out there are just giving meal plans or just giving exercise plans, or you read all these books like Atomic Habits, and yeah, it's a great book, but like habit stacking isn't going to fix your relationship with food. Like, your 90 days to a habit is not going to fix it when you get stuck in this situation and the stories you just start self-sabotaging. And so I think as coaches, we rely on all these like tools, which are good tools to use, but until you really can get in there with your clients, you're not going to get them the results that they deserve or that you want to give them.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think like the education component of the meal plans and the fitness programs and like that stuff is all relatively like you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And so like that's going to take you to a point. It's going to, you know, the doing 75 hard is going to teach you something, right? Doing Whole30 is going to teach you something. Doing it's going to teach you along the way. It's those things are not, there's a reason why they're timestamped. There's a reason why it's like a 30 days quick fix. Like there's a reason why, because it's marketing, guys. It's not because it works. It's because it's good marketing. It's what's going to make you buy this thing. Like it's, you know, oh, I only have to do this for 2 weeks. Like, and I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's marketing. It's not real.
Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. Well, it's human psychology, right? So like, so this is another angle to look at it, which is interesting that like, if you look at the 30-day fix or the, you know, the diets that are like a time-stamped diet, I'm even like losing track of what's popular now. But those styles of, I just like laughed at myself in my head about the South Beach diet.
Yes. Because
I remember that one.
They had like food. Yeah. Like,
So the, so all of those things, right? Like they're playing off of the human psychology. And yes, some of them are teaching you good habits and behaviors. I'm not saying that trash. I'm just saying that like the way they're marketing it to you is using your human psychology, understanding that you're stuck in these patterns and stories and that you want the quick fix and that you've struggled before and nothing has worked. And this one's going to be the one that fixes it. They're marketing it to you knowing this, right? So now what if you as a smart consumer was like, oh, I know this too. And so I can play on my own psychology and realize like, oh, what needs to happen is I need to change my internal dialogue. And then if I change my internal dialogue and I actually like what's going on in my head, now I can go and I can easily choose to pick the meal that is whole foods and there's protein and it's satisfying and it tastes good. And I actually walk away from it. And I don't even want dessert because I feel really good. You know, like if I can play into that for myself, like again, there you go. Like that's that's going to help far more than letting somebody outsourcing your thinking to somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's good stuff.
I've loved this conversation.
That is good.
It's been awesome. So I guess we have two questions that we always end with. So one, what's like one piece of advice that you would like to tell people that are listening? Like if you could choose one, what's one thing that you would want them to know? It's such a hard question.
It is. I would say knowing that we're speaking with women, if you're on this path and the part where we're talking about the menstrual cycle was like you thought we were speaking in Spanish, go learn about your menstrual cycle. Understand how that's influencing you physically and emotionally. Because when you can learn that journey that you're on every month for a good chunk of your life before it's then gone and then you're on a different journey of your life, understand how to use that as your ultimate hack. Understand how to build more compassion for yourself, use that to supercharge what you're doing and be able to harness that power of it, because it will change a lot for you, because it will help you link the mind and the body. It's how I've experienced it. It has helped me understand the connection between my physical body and my mind and my emotions, and learn how to predict it, or learn how to get to ride the wave rather than to be taken under by the wave. So that's for sure a great place to put some time and energy into unlocking your superpower.
Yeah, I totally agree. Right?
Yeah. Am I asking my question?
Yeah.
Okay. Kimberly, if you could be one Disney princess, which Disney princess would you be? Like, which one do you feel like is most you?
Ariel.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we've had anyone say that, have we?
No, I don't think so. Why? I want to know why. Yeah.
Because I really, she's mermaid, and like, just like, I love being in and around the water. I like the idea of wearing a shell bra. She's a redhead. So like as a kid, like my hair is blonde, but some people think I'm a redhead. And so
your skin can be a redhead. I feel like you're very,
yeah, I see that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But like my hair is like not anywhere close to red. Like,
No.
There are a couple red strands, but so yeah, growing up I was always like, oh, she's the redhead one.
I love it. Perfect. Also, before we wrap up, can you let everybody know if they want to find you on social media, even the Enlifted, where they can find you? And because you do post lovely food pictures, and I love that little French bulldog. That's always on you.
Perfect.
So cute.
So you can find me on Instagram at kimberly.casting. Right before I started this podcast with you guys, I had this brilliant idea. So ladies, if you want in on this, please join me to make a girls only close friends on my stories, which is like specifically content for women. And so like you just go on to my page and then DM me and say girls only, and you'll get the secret content that none of the men need to see. And then you can follow Enlifted Coaches, which is all about the mindset work and how to apply that into your journey here, at Enlifted Coaches on Instagram. And then I really need to know what Disney Princess Mark England is.
Oh, we didn't ask him.
Dang it. We'll have to ask him. We'll have to message him. Or you can ask him.
I will ask him.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. We really appreciate you coming on. It was awesome. We could have talked forever, I feel like.
Yeah.
Super helpful.
Come on again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Anytime. Anytime.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. And ladies, if you would, please leave us a 5-star rating and a kind review, because that helps us out a ton. And we hope to see you next week. See ya.